What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, back in your live. How you doing, folks? Ben the Breaker, Banksters Cochran, at Bankster Breaker on Twitter, along with my co-host here, Future Dan, Future Danger 6 on Twitter. How you doing there, buddy?
Yeah, reach out to us. We got news all over the place tonight. And I guess you want to talk about Hunter Biden's laptops.
I'm just seeing this stuff come across, and it seems extremely fishy. I would just start with saying
Burisma.
One of the I don't have his name in front of me, but I was reading it just before we came on air. The FBI agent who was on the subpoena and all the paperwork, one of the top child porn agents,
sure.
Right there. So what's that? I mean, I work in insurance claims, and certain claims go to certain adjusters like for a reason. So they go to certain agents for a reason. It's not haphazard. You know, if you have a hurricane claim, you don't give that to someone who's used to slip and fall injuries. So I'm just kind of wondering what's going on here. It just seems, I have no conspiracy theories to delay, but this is just crazy stuff we're hearing. That's what I just want to start with that, I guess.
Yeah, the information blockade that's coming with this, though, is historical. The amount of people, if you only get your news from mainstream media, you don't know about this because they're not talking about it at all.
No, but you have senators saying it, and FBI people, et cetera. Now, you got the counter to this laptop story, and just the basics. Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, left his laptop at essentially like an Apple store. I don't know the exact specifics, but just kind of, it was there. He never picked it up. Guy went through, found all this crazy stuff. FBI got it, and they've done an entire investigation. They've not really come clean. And now senators are like, FBI, you got to tell us. Is everything that these people are saying on that laptop true? Or are they committing perjury and trying to frame Hunter? And that's a crime, too. But we need to know what it is. And like you said, no one's really talking about this. But there's not just a lot of the, you know, you'd start just at the corruption level. But even going deeper down, a lot of other allegations.
Yeah, and chances are nobody comes to justice for any of this. And it'll be an example to the world that the elite in the United States can do almost anything and the FBI is too corrupt to do anything about it.
Oh my God, absolutely. You know what had happened to me? If any of these allegations would happen, I'd be instantly fired. I'd probably already be in jail already. $1 million bond and my entire life ruined. Even if I was 100% innocent, they would have just, my entire name would have been smeared forever. They got a whole different level they're living on. So anyway, we can talk a little bit more about that. We have a couple news articles on the News Blitz we'll go on. It's October 20th, 2020, episode 115, 2 weeks till election 2020. So it's coming to a head here. Halloween coming too. It's coming down to the wire.
13 days. What do you see in the markets? Are they sound right now?
Well, it depends which markets you're talking about. We're still seeing equities at essentially all-time highs. Definitely recovered from their huge loss in March, right,
so
from COVID.
DOJ hit Google with the antitrust suit today.
Just today.
Google stock went up. That happened.
It's the stimulus, you know what I mean? It's all about the stimulus. It's not real. Real things do not affect the markets much anymore.
That's bizarre. How does a near monopoly get hit with a lawsuit from the federal government for being a monopoly? And at the end of the day, its stock price rises. That's not anywhere near sound.
Someone would say, well, they already knew this is probably likely to happen, so they already priced it in, blah, blah, blah. But really, that's a great question, and it, in my opinion, is just one example of the markets being extremely detached from reality, if not just totally absent from reality.
Yeah, if we're going to get to the behavioral economics basis of market psychology, there's some kind of insanity that's there right now.
Yeah, and it's just really, when people say the stock market is the economy, that's absolutely not true, especially these days with all the robotic trading and trillions in stimulus from governments and central banks alike. So, and you got to remember, Google has its fingers in so many things with this lockdown and COVID. They're also making money hands over fist. So part of it is just the lockdown, and part of it is, in my opinion, you know, the markets are totally rigged. So it's more of a political theater. It's something you'd see in the Soviet Union back in the day.
Yeah. And this economic situation could implode. But do you think it could do it before the election? Because that's never happened. We never had the Wall Street meltdown within 13 days of the election. But
right.
Would it? Could it?
I don't know. Well, I guess you got to factor in these mail-in votes. They've already said more than half of the votes as compared to 2016 have been cast. That's a stat I read. Is it verified? We'll have to go look.
It's not 35 million are supposedly in.
Exactly. Yes. So that's equal to half. I didn't see the 35 million per se, but that's around in the same ballpark of what my stat kind of, you could reverse engineer out of it. My point is, if the economy went down or anything happened in the next 13 days, sure, it might affect some people's votes or might affect the election, this, that, and the other thing. But a lot of it's already been kind of cast, which is also one of the first time in America history that's happened, right? Where this large of the electorate is a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before. They cast their vote before November.
Yeah, and it's a way to, you know, help control information too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just you don't have to report things after a certain date, knowing that, you know, it won't affect the outcome because so many people, you help make up their minds weeks earlier. Yeah, I think there ought to be a period of time when states can hold federal elections, because what's the outer bounds? You can do 180 days at some point.
And I was kind of going to that in the back of my head. I'm like, well, not this time. What about next time or the time after that, where it is, you know, 60, 90, 180 days, something, you know. Just saying, it's these unprecedented COVID times that we have China and the deep state, in my opinion, to help us with. So thanks for that. Really turned 2020 on its head. You know, a little earlier today, you and I were talking, and we do a little bit of prep for the show, but not too much. A lot of the prep you do with futuredanger.com and all the curating you do there. But I kind of made a reference to the next lockdown or the next phase of COVID lockdown. You were kind of like, that's BS, you know? But I think you had a more nuanced view, so I'll just let you talk about it. But do you think there's going to be that next lockdown? And really, the next couple of weeks would be the start of that kind of flu season and that potential fear of that next level lockdown. And assuming maybe this is a somewhat contested election, right? It's not in the first day or two or week or 2 weeks, it's not finished. So by Thanksgiving, maybe we see a huge spike in COVID and we're having this going on. We don't make predictions on the show per se, but what do you have to say about that?
Well, it's a scenario, right?
Yeah, there you go.
It's another scenario. What your scenario is looking at is another lockdown, meaning what? Like governor's order, businesses closed.
Yep, this is kind of essential personnel only, more fines or even escalation in certain areas. Now, some states are more pro-freedom, and some cities are a lot more pro-state. But yeah, let's say equal to the lockdown in, you know, April in certain areas. Equal or worse than that in the next few months, combined with a potential election at that's being disputed on both sides, you know, that really drags us down further. Will you see Google stock go up is the question.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I think it's getting fractured down to county level, different municipalities, depending on the politics. You'll see markedly different behaviors towards all of this, right? So that very submissive, compliant with government orders type mentality, that we saw that coming in the Northeast. Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts. It was only a few years ago where you started getting just this, interstates are closed, you may not travel, you know, before the storms came. Like they were, quote, locking down travel, stay-at-home orders, right? Stay-at-home orders, I believe I heard that when the Boston marathon bombing happened.
Okay.
And neighborhoods had stay-at-home orders while, you know, people, were, you know, police were active and seeking the bombers. So, you know, it's a wild time in America right now. But something else I wanted to get into the first segment.
Okay.
Supreme Court came down 4-4 on a Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling that essentially permits ballots without postmarks to be accepted for counting in Pennsylvania, you know, days after what state law says it is. And the Chief Justice sided with the liberal side of the court to allow that ruling to stand. So could it be revisited by a new Supreme Court, you know, Comey Barrett getting onto the court before the election? Quite possibly.
I was about to say, what's the ETA on that anyway?
Yeah, day to day seems like it's another, you know, opportunity to collect television commercial advertising running, you know, meaningless cycles, and when any of that happens, it's getting dragged out by the Senate, like they can, right? They're raising money off of it, of course.
Yeah, seriously, good timing for to say the least, right? Well, with all this said, we're going to be going to break here, but I do want to first encourage everyone go check out PrepperBroadcasting.com. PrepperBroadcasting.com, that's the home, that's the mothership of the entire radio network, and we're just one part of it. I know we've got a lot of awesome new listeners since we joined PBN in January of this year, just before this craziness started, kind of fortuitous. But we also brought some new listeners ourselves who might really only listen to our show, should go check out all these other shows on PBN. So definitely look forward to that.
Yeah,
got to do that.
New music for the new season. Taking us out. What's this, Ben?
This for you Final Fantasy fans out there. All right, folks, we'll be right back. News Blitz coming right up. Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Man, I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential. And I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war. No Great Depression. Our Great War is a spiritual war. Our Great Depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
FutureDanger.com News Blitz. Follow along. Go to FutureDanger.com. Again, FutureDanger.com. Follow along. As you'll notice, there are four columns. If you hit the heat map dashboard help button in the top left, you'll see it expand liberty indicators, security indicators, economy indicators, natural indicators. Four columns. I'll start with the leftmost, liberty indicators. At the top, these are trending and high level. They're in red, second highest threat level. Let's go right through these headlines. There's a lot. Twitter censors president's campaign account for posting video on opponent's corruption. Twitter blocks link to congressional press release. YouTube follows Twitter and Facebook with QAnon censorship. YouTube bans any videos that question the vaccine agenda. Google whistleblower tells Veritas search engine that the search engine is skewing results benefiting Democrats. The dictionary itself, Merriam-Webster, altering the dictionary to align attacks on the Supreme Court nominee's use of, quote, sexual preference. All of these trending big time on FutureDanger.com under news blatantly censored.
Censorship.
Earlier today on the Daily Audio Cache, the NBC guy, Dave Jones, mentioned the censorship that we covered on Future Danger. That's been a mainstay since we've been on air for almost 3 years. Just censorship just growing and growing and growing. But we got a lot more to go, so let's keep going. Maybe we'll deep dive a little bit more on this. But moving along, quick as I can, Baltimore ballot box security guard was shot overnight in an unrelated robbery. It was, quote, unrelated. More than 100 absentee ballots bound for Louisville voters found in a dumpster. 29,000 Allegheny County voters received incorrect ballots. New ones being mailed. Texas poll watcher testifies on 2020 voter fraud in Houston and has some photos to support that. All these pretty low level, but starting to add up. Each one's a story, a little piece of evidence, not by itself a smoking gun, but we're keeping track. Tabs on them here at Future Danger and on Patriot Power Hour. That's what you can do at Future Danger. Go read each of these individually. It's not just headlines, of course. Read the source articles at FutureDanger.com. But continuing, this is a whole different indicator. Powerful pedophiles exposed. Senator says the FBI has to come clean about child porn on presidential candidate son's laptop. We'll get deep dive a little deeper. We'll go into that with some names and a little bit more concrete evidence compared to what I came out with to start the show. But this is, again, this is not just conspiracy theory. This is a senator talking about this. And then, of course, Jeffrey Epstein's madame, Ghislaine Maxwell, loses fight to keep her testimony sealed. Yeah, I don't even like talking about this stuff, so get it out of my face. But it is super important to realize that the blackmail going on with powerful people in our world. Future Dan, feel like taking over the next column?
20 October 20, column 2, security. Anti-food wasting campaign in China may forewarn of food shortages in that country. Low-flying helicopters above Washington, D.C. are already assessing for radiation on regular flights ahead of the turnover or continuation of power in January. In the Pacific, Taiwanese trade office in Fiji becomes a scene of a complete fist fight with communist Chinese photographers who showed up at a nationalist day at the trade office. They don't even have an embassy in Fiji. Take photos of all the guests. symbolic of the tensions between the two countries. Meanwhile, China deploys the DF-17 hypersonic missiles across the strait. Those missiles can carry, you know, very large conventional payloads, let alone nuclear, and get those rockets across that strait within minutes. Facing off with Russia in the North Pacific, F-22s intercept a pair of Russian bombers near Alaska. China demonstrates weaponized drone swarm launched from a box on a truck. The Chinese president tells elite troops to prepare for war as U.S. destroyer sails through that Taiwan Straits. On the covert scene, U.S. intel watching Chinese government involvement in imported COVID test kit that can collect DNA. We'll get into that a little bit because that's a complicated headline.
Okay.
But Chinese-made COVID products are closely being watched. Meanwhile, Department of Justice charges 6 Russian soldiers for hacking American hospitals and businesses this week. 118 Seattle police officers left the department in a mass exodus since rioting. Back to you, Ben, column 3.
All right, appreciate it, sir. Column 3, economic indicators. We got a few articles I'm going to review, but I want to actually scroll down a little bit and do a quick touch on many of the graphs, essentially bar graphs, that show where does each where does it stand historically. For example, just pulling one out, TED spread rises. The TED spread is at 0.13%, one of the lowest ever recorded, totally out of the quote red zone. Now, I won't go into a diatribe, just use that as an example of if it's that low, maybe that's an emergency. It needs to be emergency high or low. But let's continue. Another example, like gasoline. It's at $2.16. That's right in the middle and definitely not in a danger zone. Gasoline is not extremely expensive historically, and you're not seeing inflation in that. So there's really more than a dozen of these. I go in here at least once a week to review all of them. Just want to see if I can find a couple more, but I really do encourage you, futuredanger.com, that third column, check some of these out. Which ones, though, are nearing the red zone or maybe, on the other hand, totally off the chart and the opposite? Well, let's look at LIBOR, which is at 0.08%. Literally the lowest ever recorded in all of history in the London Interbank Offered Rate. Now, if you know anything about interest rates, you can look at the back of a credit card application, right? Your rate will be tied to something like the LIBOR plus 24.99%, or et cetera, et cetera. All different loans. Not always to the LIBOR, but it's one of the bigger ones. Point is, essentially 0% interest rates. Lowest of all time. Just to put it in perspective, we have this like as a normal thing now that the interest rate's zero. Never before seen, let alone at the sustained pace. Just want to point that out. Moving through a couple others, gold. I'm a gold bug, self-professed, at $1,914. So these actually pull live time metrics and dollars into the future danger. So you don't have to go search on CNBC or any of these other stupid websites. Come here to find your gold price. $1,914, deep in the red zone. Not at the all-time high that it essentially reached in August, I believe, but did not come that far back off. Still very, very high. If you bought gold recently, you're happy. I don't suggest selling it, but do what you will. But on the flip side, dollar falls. The dollar had dropped. But really, that just brings it only to the midpoint. In the last few years, the dollar's been at all-time highs. What does that mean? We're the king at Turd Mountain, the U.S. dollar. Compared to all the other currencies out there, we're still kicking ass. But hey, look at our deficit. Are we really kicking ass? That's the question. Just because we're better than the yen and the euro. Anyway, I digress. So really interesting stuff. I'm obviously an economic financial wonk, but some really interesting stuff. Here's the big one, though, a couple big ones. Federal government debt to GDP ratio, 136%. Government debt is 136% of our GDP. Just recently, it was 100%, and that was way too much. So look how quickly that jumped just in the last 6+ months. Now getting into a couple of the articles, and we'll pass it on to you for the final one here, Future Dan. 898,000 initial jobless claims. I think that's more than last week. We've been fluctuating in the $800,000 to $900,000 range, which is technically not in the red zone. But that's just because the chart was busted because it was at four or five million new initial jobless claims in this past spring. So you got to remember, 900,000 new unemployment just in the last week. It's not a V-shaped recovery. Let's just say the least. 8 million Americans slipping into poverty. Check out that article. And finally, firearm sales soaring amid pandemic, social unrest, and the election. Tons of info there. Feel free to go digest it, folks. Do your homework. We're here to try to point some things out, but up to you. Do the research. Pass along to you, Future Dan. Finish it off.
All right. This is climate science, natural dystopia sometimes. News, column 4. Got low-level flooding, casualties. Say low-level. It's in the hundreds in Nigeria and Nepal, but you know that happens worldwide. Keep an eye on it when it gets worse than normal. Second strain of coronavirus causing pigs to vomit in China, Ben. That's somewhat elevated news. Still have wildfires as of last week, ravaging the West, including Colorado. Asteroids coming by, earthquakes rattling off Alaska. And news again, I think we've talked about this, they haven't done it, but Japan, once again, you know, the source of reports that Fukushima contaminated water may be put into the Pacific Ocean. Probably a good time to do that is when everybody else is distracted. They won't be distracted from it in Japan because it's horrible, but that is a lot of contaminated water after that nuclear core melted. And just yesterday, tsunami warning up in Alaska for a magnitude 7.5 offshore sea quake. And didn't produce much of a tsunami, but that's not normal. That, you know, keep an eye on it. But in the zeitgeist of this week, October 20th, 2020, is it going to be a black October? We're going to face real tragedy this month, or do you see that further down the road?
I mean, individuals are experiencing those tragedies day to day. We just saw 8 million people slipping into poverty. So maybe if you have a cush job or have some family wealth or already retired, whatever, maybe you live off this inflated stock market, good for you. You're not having the total dark ages come upon you. But it's happening to a lot of people out there, and more people every day. It's going the wrong direction, and I can say that.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Going to break. Stick with us. We got a new sponsor of PBN. That commercial's coming right up. We'll be back on the other side to finish up Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us.
Are you prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, MD. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.
We'd make one hell of a team, Snake.
The name's Plissken.
I'm no more Snake Plissken.
When I get back, I'm gonna kill you.
You're gonna kill me now, Snake?
I'm too tired. Maybe later.
And remember, once you're inside, you're on your own.
Oh, you mean I can't count on you?
Good.
You're Snake Plissken, ain't you?
What do you want?
I thought you were dead.
Heard you were dead.
I heard you were dead.
Listen, Snake, I swear to God, I thought you were dead.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
I know who you are, but I heard you were dead.
I am.
It was an accident. About an hour ago, a small jet went down inside New York City. The president was on board.
President of what?
That's not funny, Plissken.
We're back. Patriot Power Hours live. It's October 20th, 2020. Ben the Breaker of Banksters. A future Dan at futuredanger.com. Future Dan, where do people find you?
Futuredanger.com.
Where is that?
At futuredanger.com.
Say it like you got a pair.
Don't try. Yeah.
Futuredanger.com. On Twitter at futuredanger. Numeral 6. Myself at Bankster Breaker. I've had a few of you send me direct messages on Twitter and been communicating, having a lot of fun. Actually, this morning, the one and only NBC guy, Dave Jones, said he was on Twitter like one time, and what was it? When he first signed up, one of his coworkers sent him a message like, "Welcome to Twitter," and he freaked out because he didn't want anyone at work. People know what he was doing, maybe.
Yeah.
He didn't want people to know that, understandably. I don't know. I think Mr. Jones, I think he might have used your email address as associated with something and it suggested it to your friend. That's how that stuff works. Like, oh, your new friend that's in your contact list, DaveJones@gmail.com or whatever you are.
Just join Twitter.
Just join Twitter. And then I can see why that freaked you out, though, because it's freaky. I'm of the age. Facebook came out when I was 19 years old. So I lived before social media, but I've lived almost half my life with it, and it's warped all of culture. It's been totally crazy. When I first saw like us on Facebook for CNN or something, I was like, this is like a bad reality. Like Twilight Zone. I couldn't believe that Facebook, just this stupid little social media site that we used in college to like hit on girls and get ready for parties or whatever, or talk about football or something.
Yeah.
Turn into like CNN, come discuss. Da, 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 da. And then obviously now the censorship and the propaganda has come full force. Just to see this has been a trip. But I do want to say what I'm trying to get to is NBC guy did not have a good impression of Twitter. He thinks it's dumb. It's just like a message board or, you know. On one hand, Twitter is dumb, so he has good intuition. But it actually is very useful. You can talk with folks very efficiently and, as you do, source news articles, get the word out in a kind of a unique way. It's a double-edged sword, but I read a lot on Twitter. I don't post as much. I need to do more of that. I know you're very active on Twitter, though. Anyway, I heard that today, and I was like, I think... If you're not on Twitter, just stay away from it at this point.
Yeah,
useful. It can be a useful tool.
Last week they cracked down and they would not put it, you know, the what I experienced on Twitter with the Hunter Biden laptop breaking news was you go to a link and you got a warning. It says this offends something about being Twitterish and we have rules against what you're about to view. And then I can watch it anyway. Like, it let me go to the link.
Okay.
But the conservatives made it out to be an outright banning.
They actually banned it.
And it was, you know, clearly shadow banned. They're not letting any of the algorithms promote that. Right? But then, the news read last segment about how House Republican committee Twitter accounts were getting banned from sharing links to the New York Post article about the Hunter Biden laptop, right? And that's where we are. You know, Twitter as well as Google is going to be hoisted up in front of Congress. I believe last I heard before the election to explain, why they're censoring congressional accounts, right?
I think your shadow banning is exactly what you got to focus on, because they know the game they're playing, so they will do to the best of their ability censor material, but try to keep a smoking gun away, or, you know.
Well, I think they did it last week, because within hours of, getting, starting to see GOP accounts inviting the boss over at Twitter, Jack Dorsey, to, we're going to see you in Congress, because here's your subpoena. You're going to face our committee. That Twitter was down for like 2 or 3 hours.
Conspiracy or coincidence?
Or a good time to delete all kinds of recent data about how you've censored.
Definitely. Well, that's the thing. Okay, so that's what they've done to date, or mostly to date, is shadow ban. You can still access, but it's, first off, it's heavily manipulated in your timeline, so you don't even see it in the first place. And they don't consider that censoring. They're like, that's the algorithm. That's the first layer. And then there's more and more layers, but they're actually being forced now to use some of those more draconian measures. And I think one thing you've always said is, one thing about, it's one thing if this administration does it, but what about in 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, a different administration does it, or for a different reason, and the precedent is set? I think that's important. You got to keep that long range view. We're all focused on the next couple of weeks of the election, and we should be, because stuff is getting crazy right now.
Now, we're not YouTubers, but YouTubers got whacked last week.
Yeah.
If you were speaking out against vaccines, or you were speaking for QAnon, we're talking massive accounts, long running accounts, the entirety of your intellectual property you created to put there was just memory hold.
I feel like a couple years ago, they really started to escalate it, and it's starting to hit a head where they will just memory hold you. Absolutely.
That happened.
Back then, it wasn't as much, but it started just creeping. Now they're just pulling all the stops. And I don't want to spend all the rest of the show going into kind of whether they can do that or not. Are they a public commons? Do they have the right to do that and all that? It's important arguments. I would say they kind of are public commons, especially given the monopolistic behavior and how much power they have, essentially like a utility. But, maybe we can just leave it at that. Or I don't know if you have anything else to talk about social media in general, but definitely follow me at BanksterBreaker. I'll use Twitter while it's still out there. Definitely encourage people to use other. If you don't use Twitter or you're sick of it, go check out. There's some other sites out there.
Gab, Parler.
Yeah. So I don't know. Social media is useful. It's just a tool. Twitter and Facebook do suck, though. So does Google. How about that?
Yeah, what else this end of October of this fateful year 2020 is you want to get into? We talked a little bit. I want to jump down to an article in column two. If you can get us down to the U.S. Intel watching Chinese government involvement. This goes to the U.S. government warning Nevada not to buy these Chinese-made coronavirus test kits donated by the United Arab Emirates. And the article, it's Yahoo News, so it goes on to talk about concerns over patient privacy, test accuracy, and then it lists Chinese government involvement. Documents obtained by the Associated Press show, right? So 250,000 test kits were donated after officials in Nevada accepted them, and eventually the governor had to direct Nevada hospitals not to use any of them. But what's really going on? And what does this Yahoo News AP report give a glimpse into? So let's speculate. This is speculation, but it's reasonable to think, a few steps ahead. If you're going to drop a weapon or it's done to you. We've talked about a man-made virus out of China. If you're tending to believe that evidence, what does this mean? And it means the tests that followed the disease have specific purposes in mind. And it could be, part of an entire campaign of clandestine biowar. First, you drop the disease, then you drop the test kits that collect the DNA, report it back, mass samplings of Americans' DNA, from which you target them with future bioweapons.
That sounds perfectly reasonable for a military operation.
Well, remember here, the federal government warned Nevada, don't use them. What does U.S. Intel know?
I want to pull back and just look at it from the highest level. What you just said, unfortunately, sounds quite likely. But think of this. Okay. First off, those of you listeners out there, do you trust U.S. bio firms? You know, do you trust the Eli Lillys of the world and all those in America? Not of the world, of America. A lot of you don't. Some might. But do you trust the equivalent in China? And that's who actually produced these. The BGI Group out of China. They are, where was it?
PLA Front Company?
Yeah. Well, that first and foremost, any company that's Chinese firm is obvious, is right on its face, a state-owned enterprise. But as the Yahoo News whitewash goes, the Chinese firm BGI Group is the world's largest genetic sequencing company and has expanded its reach during the coronavirus pandemic. So that's just facts that and Getty
the,
is
the world's Yahoo largest genetic sequencing company doesn't operate in communist China unless the world's largest genetic sequencing company is, you know, doing work hand in hand with military intelligence type operations.
Yeah, so if this was a U.S.-based company, would you trust it? I probably wouldn't. But if it's based and literally is an arm of the PLA, of the Chinese Communist Party, I think they have their best interests at heart. Oh, and then throw in the UAE. Well, you know, we really trust the United Arab Emirates, just like we can trust the Saudis about as far as we can throw them.
It's passed through, right? It's not direct from China. It's passed through. Yep. It's the type of thing that if it was an intel operation, they do, right? What's missing here is they can't hide the fact that the BGI Group made the kits originally, right? But otherwise, you know, first you seed the population with a bio attack, and then you collect on it, see what the results were.
So this is just one thread to pull at with regard to COVID. And one thread to pull at with regard to China and biosequencing, all of these. But that's what I love so much about Future Danger and Patriot Power Hour. We can talk about one article in like 3, 4, 5 different ways.
But from the entire perspective of the anti-statist forces in the world and in our country today, people who are not for bigger government, they are for constitutionally limited government. I see a fracture. You know, you can get on, still watch, Summit News, Paul Joseph Watson and others. InfoWars is on this track very much about how it's all a hoax ploy to bring a mass surveillance state down on the people. That may be an intended consequence of this. But two things can be true at the same time. And if it was a bioweapon attack, that's a more serious matter than that. Because now we're at war and you're going to get massive surveillance state during war. We did during the World Wars. Mail was censored, telephone, what you could talk about. Think of World War II, California coast, day after Pearl Harbor. freedom of speech wasn't the same at that moment, right? We're at war.
Well, but what if you're at war with people that are censoring you and they're
allied with people who won't ever agree that you're at war?
Yeah, and they're allied with the foreign enemy. So it's ally, it's the enemy within as well. It's even more, but it's also cyber, and it's also all this brand new technology. So in a way, it's humanity kind of goes in these cycles, but this is a whole new level of it for sure.
Yeah, this is pure 21st century scenario this year. 2020 is the most 20th century year that of the previous 20. Everything else mildly resembled the 20th century. This is the 21st century is now. So much of what's going on seems to me to be impossible to have happened in the 1900s.
Well, that's a very bad thing because hundreds of millions of people were killed in the 20th century in war, and, you know, China and Stalin and Hitler and Pol Pot and all them. So, yeah, I mean, the 20 years of the 21st century has actually been relatively peaceful, even with the Middle East wars, and there's been genocides, but not tens or hundreds of millions dead. But it seems like we're heading on that track, unfortunately.
And the strategic posturing with the militaries is at a very much a high. I mean, we did have, you know, clashes and standoffs and didn't even recognize communist mainland China until, you know, Nixon went there in the early 70s. Previous to that, it was an armed confrontation up and down that entire coastline for the most part, right? This type of, you know, hypersonic missiles being, you know, demonstrated on the mainland, U.S. sailing warships through the straits, you know, the Taiwan Strait, which we've done for many, many years and never ceased to do. But that kind of war talk between Taiwan and the mainland, the potential invasion of Taiwan basically being held over the United States' head as a strategic option by China at any moment, is that's not regular. We didn't have that in 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016. This is at a peak, at least in the last 6 years.
Oh yeah, much more escalated, and it's kind of, again, is it a coincidence that they both occurred, or is it part of the plan? It's for you to kind of decide and try to do your research. But Hong Kong protests were going bonkers. Essentially, they were about to overthrow any attempt by China to crack down. On the other side, China was about to bring out the big guns and really had started to crack down big time, totalitarian style, on Hong Kong. That's not really in the news anymore with COVID. And so, and conversely with Taiwan, much more aggressive. Now, this article here, I will say, here's a good example. 10 years ago, I was at my master's class. So I went at Purdue. About a third of my class was from China or Taiwan. About a sixth from China and a sixth from Taiwan.
Yeah.
And they actually got along fairly well, but they were extremely different people. And they really kind of stuck together as well. The Americans would integrate with the Taiwanese much easier than the Chinese as well.
Yeah.
But the Chinese were nice enough. Like, they weren't, you know, people, whatever, were nice. And very smart. Super hardworking, too. So we got to get our shit together, America, and start working a little harder. These people are busting their ass, by the way.
Yeah, but what if we sent our top...
Well, no. I agree.
1% to another country. All the people that are kicking butt in college, the top performers in U.S. college, Americans,
that's all I'm talking about,
showed up in your country, they sure would seem like they work hard. Well, not like all Chinese college students were at your university. The best of the best came to consume our educational services.
Yeah, and then went back home. So, good.
No wonder you saw... I'm not intimidated
by that. Worried about that, though. That was just a side issue. I know you're getting all riled up, being America's better. America's better. I'm just saying, I saw a bunch of lazy... I've seen a lot of fucking lazy American top-level students, and, you know, there's a lot of hard working, though. But what I'm talking about is the Taiwanese and the Chinese, not in my class, but the class before. I didn't witness this. Not in fist fight, but huge argument, apparently. Talking trash against each other. Taiwan versus China.
Yeah.
And they, in like the first day of class, because we were all, it was a very small class. There's like 40 people in our class total. And we were together for like a lot. And it was an advanced program. And so, insofar as it was like 2 years of work in 1 year. So it was a lot of time together. And you get, nerves get a little frayed. So I can see people get in a fight. And long story short, there's some animosity for sure. And I've seen it. And I've even, these people held it together. But our professor, you know, at the beginning of the year was like, look, keep that shit out of the classroom, you know. Yeah. We're not going to have that happen again. So point is, that, you know, leaving the student performance and then how hard they work aside, the Taiwanese and the Chinese definitely freaking, they got some beef and it goes deep down, and I'm definitely on Team Taiwan. Not that I hate the Chinese people, but the Taiwanese kids were much more, I don't know, definitely more like humans than robots, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I don't like communist states. And most of the populations that keep them in power, I don't necessarily like them either. I like freedom fighters. In Tiananmen Square, they got run over and squashed by Soviet-style personnel carriers. And Taiwan has had We talked about it for months and months and months before all the COVID and the crashes that came earlier this year. Like, two summers ago, we talked about Hong Kong all summer. Mm-hmm. I stand with those people who want to be free, but the ones that support the regime, it's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
It's a worldwide problem to have a country that big with that many status.
Oh, yeah. That's like a human civilization problem. Like, that's, yeah, for real. It is.
It being there is one thing. It becoming our way of life here is an entirely other thing, and we are facing a clash of civilizations in a sense from the East. And you'll see it in news reports right now about, quote, how well the Asian countries have, you know, prevented COVID-19. In Korea, you know, flaunts its status. Japan, too, you know, minimal compared to the United States. And we talked about it right when this thing hit off, Ben, which model was going to work. Now, mm-hmm. we also talked repeatedly about how the Chinese numbers shouldn't be trusted. But Korea did indeed lock down and not suffer at the level we're supposedly suffering at, right? Are the test kits accurate when they get here anyways? What's the false positive rate on them, right?
Well, my question is also, what is their obesity rate? What is their other health factors, comorbidities? That's part of it.
Yeah.
But part of it, you know, there's a sliding scale of what works. I'm a video game nerd, so I'm going to bring it back to you select your civilization type. Sometimes you get some pluses in certain areas and some minuses in other. Being a more centralized, community-focused, the whole is more important than the individual. Being that sort of civilization or setup would be beneficial in terms of your people complying with a lockdown order.
So knowing you up have front, that advantage.
But, yeah. Is that worth the other negatives, though, that come from lack of freedom of speech?
Knowing you possess that civilizational advantage, what does it...
Gotta brag.
What options does that give you?
You can...
When you're getting your butt handed to you in a trade war.
Well, that's the thing. You launch this, you kind of... First off, you create the panic. Because remember, in like January, February, it was like, oh my gosh, there's ghost towns everywhere. People getting welded into their apartments.
This isn't conspiracy theory. This is clandestine warfare scenario.
Absolute discussion. Yeah, no, this happened.
This is a scenario, and we're watching for evidence of it. And already some evidence has emerged that I haven't seen effectively countered.
Mm-mm.
So we're maintaining that this is a scenario that could very likely explain 2020.
And at a minimum, this is occurring, you know, don't let a good crisis go to waste. But it could be a causal factor as well. But no, going back to it, the way I see it, if the scenario pans out, or is kind of what occurred, China releases this, either on purpose or on accident, definitely man-made. They know it's out. They try to keep it a secret as much as they can. It spreads within themselves. Now, here's the question. I feel like they faked this out and made everyone freak out and say, oh my gosh, it's Night of the Living Dead, or, you know, 28 Days Later, any of those zombie-type movies in China right now, like in Wuhan. The streets are empty. People are getting welded into their apartment buildings. Freak out. Everyone freak out. It's coming to America. And then you realize that was actually kind of like a head fake. That psyched it up, and that caused American fear to just spike. Guess what happened? Shortly thereafter, China opened up for business, no worries at all, and we go into a six-month lockdown for all intents and purposes.
Maybe they suffered a massive loss of hidden life.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what they have to burn. They're kind of like the Red Army. They'll just throw a few million soldiers into the machine, but just keep marching forward. They don't care.
So, are you ready for a lighthearted metaphor?
Sure. We got 4 minutes left. Patriot Power Hour.
You ever see the cowboy movies when a fight breaks out and the great big, like, dance hall, casino, bar, the
saloon, room, or whatever?
Saloon, giant saloon.
Whoosh.
Yeah. One fight breaks out, right? And then others break out. And
oh, yeah.
It just becomes pandemonium. Melee. And that's where the funniest parts of those scenes were, because then some people start stealing, people start doing stuff on the side, because it's pandemonium. All control has been lost.
Yep.
Right? And there's violent, you know, it's violent in the room, and it's people doing stupid stuff, and there's people getting away with stuff. 2020 is kind of like a great big saloon barroom fight with the COVID being one fight with a bunch of people in it. And, you know, economically, there's other fights. And then there's, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop, some more fights. And Trump's in the middle of the saloon fighting in a circle with everybody taking shots at him. It's that kind
of breaking glasses over their heads and stuff. Just craziness. That's a freaking great analogy. I could picture it perfectly.
Yeah.
That's about right. I think this is like the beginning of that melee. Or maybe 2021 is kind of where everything really starts going nuts.
The trouble is the rest of us like live in houses next to the saloon and it might burn down.
Firebombed, yeah.
It might all come down this year.
Or bullet holes come through the walls.
Preparedness, if you're not otherwise inclined on Patriot or listening to Patriot Power Hour on Prepper Broadcasting Network, if you're more news-oriented listening to us and you're less preparedness-oriented, if this year hasn't refocused you, I guess we got to wait for next year.
I don't, yeah.
Praying it's not as bad as this one, but it could be.
I don't know if you could, geez, if you didn't get some sort of wake-up call in terms of preparedness this year. I mean, the listeners here, many of them are much more prepared than I, so I'm not talking down to the listeners in general, but even your average Joe Schmo probably has an extra package of toilet paper since 2020. I'm hoping, I know I have many more lessons I've gleaned from 2020, but I mean, this was the year, the wake-up call. I still think you got a little bit of time to get your stuff in gear and hopefully get right with God, etc. But if you're not awake by 2020, probably too late for you, man.
Yeah, if you haven't prepared now, then your strategy right now is to rely on the government to provide if all form of commerce shuts down. And that might not be a good position to be in.
Not good, not good. All right, folks, that's the end of it. The end.
Listen to the other hosts.
Oh, yeah.
Next Generation
show's coming up tonight.
They're going to tell you something that you can actually do.
Right.
To improve your situation.
Hell yeah.
Not just what's wrong.
Look for solutions. Absolutely. Solutions.
I am Liberty.
I am Liberty.
Show anchoring.
We got pretty much every week, every day, we got a show and a daily audio cache. So.
Gunmetal Armory.
Hell yeah, they had a really good show last week. And he's bringing out some archive shows too.
He's talking about important things.
Yeah, it's all about it, man. This is all free content, people. Free content, PBN. We do it for the love of the game. All right, we're out of here. We'll be back next week. It'll be 1 week from Election 2020. At that time, that's crazy. Future Dan, another good show in the bag, buddy.
Election pen testing next Tuesday night. Don't miss it.
Are you with me? Are you with me? I wanna dance by water beneath the Mexican sky. Drink some margaritas by swinging blue lights. Listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me?